And I'm going to talk to you about something that's very important, something that is happening now, something that's going to happen especially next weekend. It's a very important time in the Christian calendar. What's happening? You're going to get some holidays now.
Easter.
That is right, the Easter holidays. And I thought, what better story to tell than the story of Easter? And what happened at Easter? Now, these are things that we preach about all the time. These are things that we want to say all year round, but there's a special time when we think about it because it was back at Easter time in Bible days when this happened. What happened?
And Jesus died on the cross.
Jesus died on the cross. He did. And then something else happened that we remember at Easter. He died upon the cross, but he didn't stay on the cross. He didn't stay in the tomb. Something happened. Jake? He rose again. So the Easter message is all to do with the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to emphasize to you tonight. And I'm going to read two verses of Scripture. And they're found in 1 Corinthians, the chapter 15, and verses 3 and 4. And here the Apostle Paul, he's writing to this church. All right, so it's called 1 Corinthians. What church do you think he's writing to? A church that was situated in a certain city in Bible times. What do you think? Think of Corinthians. You'll get the city over there. Corinth. Okay, the city of Corinth. And he's writing to believers. And this is what he says, verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that," and listen to these words, "Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." We should have it here behind us. All right, if you haven't got a Bible, you can look up there at the screen. Verse 4, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." All right? So we're thinking about the death of Christ. We're thinking about the resurrection of Christ. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he rose again. And it was all according to the Scriptures, children. I want you to sit up and listen. Now, we thank God for the birth of Jesus Christ. He came into the world. He was born as a little baby, just like you were. Whenever you came into the world, you were born just like a little baby. We have had a little baby born into the church family just last Sunday night. A little girl was born. And you go back to the day when you came into this world, you were not born 6 years of age or 10 years old. You were born as a little baby, and that's how Jesus came into the world. He that was God became man. And how did he do it? By taking unto himself your likeness and my likeness, human flesh, just like you and me. And we thank God that there was such a moment when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world as a baby. We thank God also tonight for his life and his ministry. Now, he didn't start his ministry until he was 30. We know very little about Jesus in his childhood and his young manhood. But at the age of 30, he began his ministry, and his ministry lasted only 3.5 years. But during that time, in fact, during the whole life of Christ, he was living a life of perfection. Do you know what perfect means? If you were perfect, what would it mean? Does your mother or father ever look at you and say, "You're a perfect child"? It means you never sinned. And that was Jesus. We all sin, but Jesus never sinned. And he walked in this life absolutely perfect. Never sinned once. Never had a wrong thought. Never said a bad word. Never did anything that was out of place. For Jesus Christ was sinless. And in that ministry, we thank God for his miracles. You know, he worked mighty miracles. There were blind people in the days of Christ. They could not see, but when they met him, he opened their eyes and they could see. There were those that were deaf. They could not hear, but Jesus opened their ears so that they could hear. There were those who could not walk, and the Lord made them to walk again. And there were even those who were dead, and he raised them to life again. What mighty miracles he did. And we thank God for them. We thank God for his preaching. If you want to know who the greatest preacher was that ever was in this world, look to Jesus. And we have wonderful sermons recorded in this book that he preached. Like in the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. Some of you will learn about that in your RE classes at school. Or that great sermon later on in Matthew's Gospel, the Second Coming of Christ. Wonderful sermons that Jesus preached. We thank God for his example. We thank God for his love. But most of all tonight, as we think of Easter, we thank God for his death and his resurrection. We want to rejoice in these things tonight. After the upper room, who's ever heard of the upper room? The upper room in the Bible. It's the night before the cross. In the morning, the Lord Jesus would die. But now we're thinking about the night before, and he has gathered together his people, his 12 disciples, and they're all meeting in an upper room. It was just the upstairs. Oh, great. So it was up the upper room, and the Lord Jesus Christ had come together with his disciples to celebrate the Passover. When he was gathered with his disciples that night, he told them something awful. He said, one of you is going to betray me. One of you. Do you know what it means to betray? Very good. One of you. And they all began to ask, is it me? Who is it? Until Judas Iscariot finally said, is it I? And Jesus said, thou hast said. And Judas left. He left the upper room and he went out into the darkness of the night to go about his terrible work of betraying Jesus into evil hands. There in the upper room, the Lord Jesus had something to say to his disciples. Now, just the 11. And you can study it. We're studying it on Friday mornings in our wee school here. And from chapter 13 of John's Gospel in verse 31 right through to chapter 16, the Lord has some very important things to say to his disciples. Love one another. It's a commandment. He wanted them to love each other. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. That's how we are to love one another. And then he tells them that he's going away. You see, very soon Jesus would die. The next day he would die. Be raised again. 40 days later, he was going away, not to return to this earth again until the second coming. He was going to heaven. And you know, that news troubled the disciples. They were sad in here. Jesus is going away. He's not going to be with us any longer. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. All right, he wanted to encourage them. And how did he encourage them? He told them about heaven. Heaven is something that encourages every one of us. Talked about his father's house and the place of the many mansions and how to get there. So he had a lot of things to say, and you study those chapters. And then he prayed. John 17 tells us about the great prayer, the high priestly prayer of Christ. And then they left the upper room and they went out to a garden where the Lord Jesus loved to go. Does anybody know what you call that garden? The Garden of Gethsemane. And there, the Lord Jesus Christ is in prayer. He says to the disciples, most of them he left at the gate, others he brought, three of them he brought right in to the garden, and he said to them, you sit here while I go and pray yonder, over there. And he went, the Bible says he went a stone's cast, you know, just like you would throw a stone, just that distance. And he fell on his knees and he began to pray. And it was an agony of prayer. And he says, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. As he thought about what was going to happen the next day, how that he was going to be taken and crucified, let this cup pass from me. But he submitted himself to his Father, whatever the Father's will. And if the Father's will was for him to suffer, to be crucified, he was willing for that. Then a mob came. Judas Iscariot, some soldiers, some of the Jews. And they came to take Jesus away. And Judas betrayed him. And he had arranged with these people. He says, the person that I kiss, he's the one who is claiming to be the Savior. He's the one that you can take. And he went up to the Lord Jesus and he gave him the kiss of betrayal. And the Lord is led away. He is brought to Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the high priest in those days. The high priest was the one who was the head of the Jewish church. There he was mocked. There he was accused of many things. And from there he was taken over to Pontius Pilate. You've all heard of Pontius Pilate. Then over to Herod. King Herod was in town at the time, and he was there for a while and was mocked, back to Pontius Pilate. And there's a trial that takes place. Many things are said against the Lord. Accusation after accusation brought against him. And Pilate looked at all these accusations and he listened to what the people had to say. And you know what he had to say as a judge? I find no fault in this man. Three times at least he said that. No fault. Because remember, Jesus Christ never sinned, never did anything wrong. He shouldn't have been in trial. And despite the fact that Pilate found no fault in him, do you know what the people said? Do you know what they shouted? Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. We want him to die. Pilate eventually gave in. And he handed the Lord Jesus Christ over to the crowd. First of all, he was scourged. You may not be familiar with the term, but it means that he was beaten, frightfully beaten. In English terms, we speak about a cat of nine tails. It was a little bit like that. And that's how they punished people way back then. You know, the Roman citizen was not allowed to be punished this way because it was so horrible. It was such a frightful punishment. Only slaves or free men who had committed the worst of crimes could be punished this way. And these were strands of leather, maybe about 3 feet long. And on the end of those strands of leather, little pieces of metal or bone. So it wasn't just bruising a person or lashing a person. These little pieces of metal or bone sunk into the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ until you could actually see the inner parts of his body. Then they laid a cross on him. After plaiting a crown of long eastern thorns and pushing them into his brow, they laid the cross that he was going to be crucified upon him, and they made him carry it at least part of the way. He was going to faint beneath the weight of the cross. He was so weak now in his body that another man called Simon was compelled to bear that cross. But you can imagine this heavy wooden cross being laid upon Christ, and he's carrying it to the place where he was going to be put to death. It was always outside the city. And in Jerusalem, or at Jerusalem, it was a place called Calvary or Golgotha, the place of the skull. The rocks there looked like the skull of a person, and that's why it got the name. And there, the soldiers took the Lord Jesus and they drove spikes into his hands and into his feet. They nailed him to that cross and they lifted him up to die. Remember, the Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And there the Lord is hanging upon the cross. Now, what is happening there? What's happening at the cross? Well, for one thing, our sins were being laid upon Christ. You want to think about that. All the wrong things that humanity had done, they were being now transferred to Christ in such a way that those sins became his sins. What was happening there? The wrath of God was being poured out upon Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is now being punished for our sins. There at Calvary. Think about that. And the Lord became our substitute. He took our place at Calvary. That's how much he loved us. He took our place, our punishment. What I deserve, what you deserve because of your sin, Jesus Christ at the cross, he bore it all in his own body there. And children, I want to tell you tonight, and I want to tell parents and family members that have come in here this evening, that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that. If you learn nothing else before you leave this meeting tonight, know that Jesus loved you. And not only loved you, but he died for you. He died for you at the cross. And Jesus Christ is able to save you from your sin. If you learn that tonight, if you didn't know it already, you've learned something very powerful. Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, and Jesus Christ is able to save you. So there he dies upon the cross, and after it was all over, they take his body down very gently. They bring it to Joseph's tomb, and he's led into the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and he's buried. We read that tonight, didn't we? He's buried according to the scriptures. But something happened. Something wonderful happened on the third day. What happened on the third day?
He came alive
again. He rose from the dead. Jesus is not on the cross. Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus Christ is alive, and he rose again according to the scriptures. It's an empty tomb. When Mary came early that morning, the tomb was empty. Jesus wasn't there. Mary Magdalene, by the way, was the first person who saw Christ alive. She had the privilege of seeing the risen Savior. And Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is the living Savior. And he's here tonight. Positionally, he's at the right hand of his Father in heaven. But practically, and truly and really, he's everywhere because he's God. And he's here tonight. He's here in this meeting. And you know, children, he sees us. He sees you tonight. And he sees me. He not only sees us, but he knows us. He knows all about you. Knows all, everything that you have done. And you know, thank God, he wants to save us. Despite the fact that he knows everything that we have done, he wants to save us from our sin. That's what he came to do. Christ Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins. We have sinned against God, every one of us, all of us. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we are condemned. We're condemned to die. You need to understand this tonight. And there's nothing that we can do to remove this sin from our lives. You can come to church 7 days a week. You can come 5 days or five times every day, as well as 7 days a week. You can read your Bible all day and you can pray all day, but that will never save you. It's good to read your Bible. It's good to pray. We've told you that. It's good to go to church, but it will never save you from your sin. There's only one way that our sins can be washed away, and that's through Jesus Christ. He came and he shed his blood that our sins might be forgiven. And he's the only way to heaven. We mentioned John chapter 13 through to 16, the last things that Jesus said before he died to his disciples. John 14 verse 6, Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's just spoken about heaven, children. The place of the many mansions. The Father's house. I wonder tonight, are you going there? One of the disciples was listening as Jesus was speaking about heaven. He says, how can we know the way? And that's the answer that Jesus gave. I am the way. There's no other way. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter what kind of thoughts you dream up in your mind about how to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. And we rejoice tonight in these wonderful truths. Christ died for our sins. Do you know it tonight? Do you believe it in your heart? And he rose again the third day. And he did it all according to the scriptures. It is our prayer as you've come to our parents' night tonight that you will think about these things. And if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, if you don't know your sins washed away, I want you to know you can come tonight. You can trust Christ. You can join the rest of so many here tonight that know and love the Lord. You can be saved. I trust that this Easter time you will think about the death of Christ and his glorious resurrection and come to trust him. Well, if we were to prayer, and then we will sing our closing hymn, and I will hand it over to Andrew, and Andrew has a few things to say to you. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your word. We thank thee for your presence. We thank thee that Jesus is the Savior of men. We thank thee for the children who have trusted the Lord in recent days. We pray for them. We pray for their parents. We pray for their families. We pray for any in this service tonight who do not know Christ, that you'll speak to them, and may they come to realize that Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross of Calvary, died for our sins, rose again victoriously that we might be saved, and brought one day to be with him in heaven forevermore. Lord, hear our prayer tonight and bless your word for Jesus' sake. Amen. 719 is the closing hymn. Speaks about heaven. There is a city bright, closed are its gates to sin. Not that defileth can ever enter in. I trust tonight that some of you will say, Savior, I come to thee. O Lamb of God, I pray, cleanse me and save me. Wash all my sins away. You pray a prayer like that, you really mean it in your heart. You come to Christ by faith. You ask the Lord to cleanse you and save you. He will. But the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We'll stand and sing our closing hymn. Seated.
Okay, well, just want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. It's great to see so many boys and girls and some mummies and daddies as well here. And I'm Andrew, as I already said, and I'm looking after the meetings here on a Tuesday night. And for those of you maybe that don't know what goes on at the meetings, okay, you've heard the boys and girls sing, and thank you boys and girls for singing very, very well, those on the younger meeting and those that were from the older meeting as well. And in the younger meeting they say their memory verses. You probably heard them as they come home each night and have to learn them for the next week. And when they say their memory verse they get tokens. And in the junior meeting they get tokens each week. And on a Tuesday night it's really important you all come, because I have a big prize table down there. And I was out at the weekend and I was buying prizes. And let me tell you, there's footballs. There's super soakers. Yeah. But we're not to use them on Tuesday night. You have to do it at home and soak your mummies and daddies. Okay? There are colouring in books. There's little story books. There's sweets. Okay? There's loads and loads and loads of prizes for you on Tuesday night. So make sure and come out on Tuesday night. I know it's your Easter holidays. I'm sure your mummy and daddy will be glad of a wee break for an hour in the evening to get their head shared. Okay? So come on Tuesday night. And the older meeting, you remember what happens with you? A chippy night, okay? So we'll have the meeting at the start and then we'll get in a chippy and you'll have some burgers and chips and chicken, whatever you would like to have. Okay? So the meetings, as I was saying there, they do their memory verses, they get tokens for coming, and they have stories. The younger ones, they just, on Tuesday night, you're going to finish the story of Esther. Okay? So you need to come to hear the last part of that story. And the boys and girls over this side that were in the senior meeting, they've had testimonies. There was special speakers coming. Some of our own people were speaking. And I think they've had a really good year. And it has been a really good season this year. And it's been great to see so many boys and girls come and get saved this season. Okay, so tonight I know what you've all been waiting for. What is it, Matthew? You think it's Easter eggs? Okay, so as a wee treat tonight, we always on the parents' night, we give you as a wee treat, and we're going to give you all an Easter egg, okay? But remember, you've still more to get if you come on Tuesday night, and we're going to ask Julie. She's going to come up and give us a wee hand to give the Easter eggs out. Philip, could you give a hand to bring the boys and girls up? Okay, so Philip will let you up row by row, and we'll get you as an Easter egg. Okay, come on up. Oh, there you go. Right, Calvin. Yes, if there's any other, I think there's a few boys and girls that might be visiting tonight. If you want an Easter egg, come on ahead. If you're not sitting with these boys and girls here, there's an Easter egg for you here. If you don't come, I'll just have to eat them all. Anybody else? I don't want to have to give these to the workers. They don't want one. What do you think? One more coming. Oh, yes. Okay, now maybe you're here tonight and you're too shy to come up. Okay, but if you're too shy, you can come and see me after. I'll be with the eggs for a minute and make sure the workers don't all come and eat them. Okay? Okay, we're just going to close here now in a wee word of prayer and thank God for the food. Loving God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence. Lord, we thank you for this meeting that we have just had, for all that has been said. Lord, we thank you for the boys and girls and the parents that have come out tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this time of the year when we can remember you coming to earth to die for our sins. And we thank you for the meetings that we've had and for the boys and girls who have heard this here and who have accepted you as their Savior. Just pray that you would be with us now as we go out and we partake of the food that has been provided. Pray you would bless it to our bodily needs. Just pray that you would separate us now this evening and keep us safe as we go home. And Lord, even just pray that the boys and girls would all come back out again on Tuesday night to the last meeting. Pray this all in your name. Amen.